and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 of the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America, day two here at Saratoga, Friday morning, a beautiful Friday morning, right in front of Clare Court, one of our favorite places on the racetrack with the horses working out in the morning behind us and whatnot. A great opening day yesterday, big crowd, 27,000 plus the listed attendance. If you were up here, you know what a great day it was, how much fun it was, smiles on people's faces just to get back to Saratoga after last year on the sidelines. And it was a lot of fun. Expect 39 more days of that coming up. Today's show, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Rick Schossberg. There's a New York aftercare day coming up.
One of our favorite places on the race.
Next Wednesday. And Rick Schossberg will talk a little bit about that event. And we also have a tape piece we did the other day with the quick call ceremony right behind us, the memorial for quick call. So all of that is coming up a little bit later on. But, and I said when he sat down today, I thought, who better to start the season off as far as trainer guests than to have Robertina Diodoro step in off a win in race number one, Saratoga 2021. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you after the nice win yesterday to kick things off. And I pulled up a replay, Charlie's Archangel yesterday. We're going to watch that one come down the stretch and get it done. The final chart margin and neck, it got close at the end, but as the favorite got it done, he'll be the number five horse in here. And that one coming in off the claim, claimed that one down at Churchill in the last start, comes up to Saratoga under Irod Ortiz. So Irod kicks off the meet on the jockey side. You kick off the meet on the trainer side with the victory in race number one, 2021. Any win up at Saratoga has to be special and important, but how fun was it to win the first race of the season?
Oh, no, like you said, anytime you win a race here at Saratoga, it's, you know, a little extra special. Always fun to win the first one, though. It's good for the whole, you know, whole team, you know, the right from the help to the rest of the owners, gets everyone a little extra pumped up.
Yeah, and it was give me your reaction, because you've been in New York for a while now, and so you've experienced some Saratoga, and last year was very different. Look, depressing may be too strong, but it was certainly a little bit different. I got lucky enough to, as the press person, be over here every day, but without fans, it was a little bit different. Give me your impression and what it's like to be in front of a full house again, and just to, as I walked around yesterday, the smiles and just the reaction of people. What was your impression on the trainer side?
No, like you said, just gives it a little extra buzz, and you know, it's great to have the fans back. You know, we wouldn't be sitting here without them. And so for sure, definitely a little extra excitement.
Yeah, it was fun yesterday. And again, congratulations on the win to kick things off. And we'll talk about what may be upcoming and whatnot as well. We've had you on before and we've talked a little bit about this other times. But up here at Saratoga, we get so many people new to the audience. Sometimes I like to go back and just remind. And when I have trainers here, I like to kind of introduce so folks can kind of root for the faces on the racetrack. And so give us a little bit of your background. When you sat down, from talking before, I know you kind of kicked things off over on the west coast of Canada to start your career, but talk about how you got into the game.
Yeah, just kind of born and raised into it. My mom's side of the family was into it, and my dad as well. So born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, and like I said, parents watch every race, and they're big supporters.
Certainly nice to have the family involved. And as you were saying when you sat down, Dad's still watching the races all the time. I want to say I first became aware of you because I do the afternoon handicapping show most of the rest of the year. And so we're looking during the year at various tracks. And I want to say I kind of became aware of your name more. It's Turf Paradise, right? You were kind of down there in the wintertime?
Yeah, that was the first time we started branching out of Canada. It was Turf Paradise roughly 10 years ago. And, you know, we started from the bottom. You know, we went down there with some $3,000 horses and just slowly, you know, got some better horses. And it took us a few years to get going down there. But Turf Paradise has been a great place for us to really get going.
Yeah, it's a fun venue in the wintertime. And as I say, that's in our mix, certainly. So, again, you came on my radar screen a little bit, but now I've moved kind of to various venues across the country. Anthony Marmino, as he stepped out, said to you, how long have you actually been here in New York? And he guessed a couple of years, and I was thinking that was probably about right, too. You said you've been racing now in New York for about 4 years. How's the experience been?
Great. You know, like I said, especially Saratoga, you can't beat it. And, you know, it's people are very friendly and helpful. You know, starting with Martin Panza all the way down, it's been very well.
How does the experience differ at Saratoga for a trainer? Because I think a lot of Saratoga is also the social aspect. And again, you mentioned your owners and whatnot. I think owners are a lot more excited to come to Saratoga, maybe get out on the backstretch. So how does your experience at Saratoga maybe differ on a 24-hour schedule as compared to other tracks you're working at?
Yeah, just the you know, with here, so many tracks, you know, the town's not into it like Saratoga. And we experience it in the wintertime with Oakland, but there's not too many tracks like Oakland and Saratoga where the whole town gets into it. It doesn't matter if you're going for a haircut or going for a cold one. Everyone's talking about horses and knows about it, so it's a lot of fun.
That is one of the things that I always say. It's not just within the fence at the racetrack around here. Like you say, you're downtown, and you're sitting at a table eating dinner, and the people at the next table are talking about how they're going to play the double tomorrow.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is great.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's... definitely, like you said, outside the fence, there's a buzz through the whole town.
But I'm glad you brought up Oaklawn, because I was going to ask you about that. Oaklawn in the wintertime is just one of my favorite tracks. I think there's a lot of value there. It's a fun track to bet. You had a great season down there this year. You were second in the standings, I believe, when things wrapped up. And talk about the Oaklawn experience, because I've been there a couple of times, and I agree with you. For folks who have never been, put it on your bucket list. It's very Saratoga-like, the town and whatnot. But talk about your experience down at Oaklawn, and again, you had a great season, so what's it like to race down there?
It's the greatest. I just love it. You know, it's, again, it's the Saratoga atmosphere. It's the Saratoga of the wintertime. They've done just the 7 years I've been there, it's just been year after year, just building, building, building. I mean, now with the casino and the sports gaming, the new hotel they got, and again, you go downtown for a haircut, some lunch, whatever, the town's buzzing that horse racing, and now this year they're going to start a little earlier. Start.
Yeah, what's your opinion on that?
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, great for me, myself, and a few different reasons. One, it's become home for me, and
nice.
My girlfriend and I have a house there, so that's home now. And like I said, racing, you can't beat it. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's, as I say, a great, fun community, and it seems like a lot of, over the past 4 or 5 years, you've been reading about a lot of jockeys are now have bought homes down there.
Yeah.
I know on the, you know, the media side, Nancy Holthus, I think she considers that her home.
Yeah.
I think she's originally from down there. And I speaking of Nancy, I talk to her about it every Oaklawn year. I had Rick Hammerly on with me this season. We were talking about it. The claiming game down there is insane, and you're a big claiming trainer. Talk about how is it different down, how and why is it different down there? Because the claiming box down there is on fire. It's nuts the whole season. So talk about the claiming game at Oaklawn.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of fun. It's hard to keep up, to be honest, because, you know, you lose 2-3 horses, and it's not easy to replace them, because every time you go back for one, there's a shake. I just think it's the whole atmosphere of Oaklawn is what makes the claiming so big, and is because the owners just, there's a buzz there, and you know, so many owners want to win there. There's a lot of you know, local owners there as well that gear up for that meet, and of course the purse structure. So it's a fun place.
Yeah, I had Hammerly on the show on a Saturday morning, I believe, and it was the next week, I think. He texted me a picture, and he said, "Yeah, we had a shake." And the whole racing office, there had to be 20 people in the racing office for a shake for the claim. It's just, as I say, it's insane down there. I'll ask you another question, because when I'm doing the handicapping show, when the Oaklawn meet ends, or the last couple of weeks of the Oaklawn meet, for maybe another month and a half or so, I then tout Oaklawn shippers as they move to other tracks. I think as a handicapper, for the past 10 years probably, it's been an angle. It seems like horses coming out of Oaklawn maybe have extra fitness, or they just seem to do well as they move to other venues. What's your take on that?
I think a lot of it is the toughness of the race in there. It's very competitive. You know, again, everyone's there to win, and, you know, the town, the owners really want to win there a little extra. You know, it's, again, it's the Saratoga, the winter Saratoga meet, and it's the same here. You know, this is probably the toughest meet in the country.
Yeah.
So it's the same with Oaklawn in the winter, and I think that's a lot of it. These horses leave Oaklawn and, you know, get to other tracks, and it's not quite as tough. And, you know, another thing is field sizes at Oaklawn. You know, big field sizes, tough racing, and like I said, it makes those horses extra tough.
Yeah, it's again, it's, for me, it's fun to watch, and I think a lot of that is just what you say. Field size adds to the extra value, so as a player, I like it. And again, I find some nice value as the horses move on to other venues as well. Talk a little bit about coming up here to Saratoga. And again, we've alluded to it already a little bit, but take us through a typical day up here at Saratoga, taking horses out in the morning for works. And then, you know, it's long days with, you know, big cards. And so take us through a typical day for a trainer.
Yeah, no, up early in the morning. And next thing you know, it's 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. You're looking at your watch and trying to get out of here to have a quick shower and change your clothes and back at it. And, you know, then it's, again, the whole town's into it, so then there's going out for dinner, and you know, some by the time you get out of here and dinner, you're home at 9-10 o'clock at night. So it makes for a guy needs a little break when you leave Saratoga for sure, a little freshener.
We can all relate to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you worked over Oklahoma yet this year, and any opinions on the refurb they did? Because they, for folks who don't know, it was pretty extensive. They widened the track, and after last year, they got to work on it and completed things a little earlier. But any opinions over there?
I think they've done a great job. You know, even last week with the amount of rain, it really handled the rain. And to be honest, we've been working probably 95% of our horses since we've been up here over on the Oklahoma side. And no, that's they've done a really nice job over there.
Yeah, that, everything I've heard, it's the same opinion. I'm wondering, do you ever bring horses over to Clare Court?
I never have.
Because everybody says it's just, it seems like when I talk to trainers, it's more of a mental thing. It's a great place to maybe bring a horse to kind of get them in a different frame of mind. It's a little more relaxed.
Yeah, a little change of routine.
Yeah. Which certainly can't hurt. Also wanted to, while we have you in here, and again, congratulations on the win yesterday to kick things off. Always fun. But you have one on the big day tomorrow at Monmouth. In the Monmouth Cup, you have American Dubai. We're going to look at the stretch run. A couple races back, speaking of Oaklawn, we will go back to April and look at American Dubai win by 7 lengths, 14-1 that day. Going to be the 3-horse in here. Subsequently went up and tried the Blame at Churchill Downs. Ran fourth behind Mighty Heart, the nice Josie Carroll runner from Canada. That was a nice performance there from that one. But again, going back to this win down at Oaklawn for American Dubai, that kind of jumped out at me. What are your thoughts tomorrow in the Monmouth Cup for American Dubai?
Tough field, but I really like him. He's training great. He's not an easy horse to train. He had some feet issues. They're doing great right now. And probably the last 4 or 5 days, he hasn't trained any better than since we've had him, so we're pretty excited. You know, you always worry about shipping and different surface. He's going to leave early tomorrow morning and ship the day of, and we'll see what happens. But he gets on the lead. He's a tough horse. He's got a big heart, and he's a talented horse.
All right, so there's one to maybe look for tomorrow at Monmouth. And I wanted to get maybe a thought on, I'm thinking perhaps we'll see this one up here. We're going to pull up the stretch run to the Brooklyn, the beginning of June, and we're going to look at Lone Rock get it done. Chart margin over 11 lengths from Lone Rock. Lone Rock, nice claim for you back at Churchill in November. Claimed that one for 40, and then you wind up winning the Brooklyn a few weeks back. And I see he's had a couple of works up here at Saratoga already. What may be in the cards for Lone Rock?
Probably the Birdstone. That's what we're pointing him towards. He's had two super works here. Talk about Oklahoma, the track on the Oklahoma side. He's worked very well here and skipped right over the surface. And we'll just take it day by day. But he's doing great right now, this horse. So
yeah,
we're pretty excited about
certainly.
Him.
Certainly. What were your impressions of the Brooklyn win?
Oh, yeah. We really thought he'd run big, but not that big. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was it. You jump out and win by those kind of margins. And again, with a horse that you had picked up last November down at Churchill, claimed the horse for 40. So certainly that was a nice claim and a clever claim. And you are, as I say, a player of the claiming game. And I will tie in. You talked about starting kind of at the bottom in Turf Paradise. I'm guessing that when you do that and work your way up, but still are in the claiming game, just that experience at the beginning plays into being sharp as far as looking at the horses and making good claims like that.
No, it did for sure. And, you know, the claiming horses, a lot of them, you know, they take a lot of extra work too. And, again, that's, you know, our whole team actually, you know, my assistant up here, Sean Williams, he was with me, you know, basically from day one at Turf Paradise. And, you know, icing horses and, you know, the yellow heating blanket, just a little extra, you know, they got elements that they're athletes. You got to work on them.
Sure.
So, you know, the old saying is what you put into them is what you're going to get out of them. And it definitely, I think that's a big part of it. You know, you got to work on these horses. Like I said, they're athletes.
Yeah, and as they say, you have a great season down at Oak Lawn where the claiming game is so impressive. And coming up here and getting things done with a horse off the claim in the opener yesterday. We're certainly wishing you good luck on the remainder of the meet, and it's been fun watching as I say, I picked up on your Turf Paradise and you kind of slowly moved across the country, and now you've been in New York and having some success up here. When you come into Saratoga, do you kind of set a goal? Let's see if we can reach this win mark.
Yeah, last year we had a really tough meet here. The year before we had a, you know, decent, solid meet, but this year I think we got the right group of horses. You know, it doesn't matter where you go, you got to have the right group of horses that kind of fit that need. And you know, I'm hoping this year we have a solid group, and it's the most we've brought up here. I think we got 28 now in the barn, and we got some young horses, and of course we're going to play the claiming game, but we're pretty excited about some young horses, and keep preaching that we're trying to get young horses in the barn and develop them and, you know, have some stake horses. So
this is where to showcase the two-year-olds, no question about it.
Sure. No, we're excited about a couple.
And we'll also, I was laughing, you were laughing, when Anthony Mormino walked off the set, he said, not too many trainers can put on the resume. They won one at Saratoga and Canterbury in the same day. So, yeah, it was a good Thursday.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
Robertino Diodoro, again, won the opener yesterday to kick off the 2021 season, and certainly hopefully many more wins at the meet. We wish you a lot of good luck. Appreciate your stopping by today.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, as I said, a little bit later, Rick Schosberg with the Aftercare Day to promo that and much, much more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning, day two at Saratoga. And again, it's a beautiful day. If you're planning to head up, I think it's going to be pretty similar to yesterday. A little close, a little humid, but hey, that's July in Saratoga. Otherwise, so far, a nice day up here. As promised before the break, we are joined now by our friend Rick Schossberg, trainer on the NYRA circuit. But we invited Rick in today to talk a little bit about an event coming up next week. And it just seems like, Rick, first, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Pleasure to be here. Always great to be on the show.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. Again, to talk just in general racing and whatnot. We'll certainly hit on that, some of that as the morning progresses here. But again, next Wednesday, it's New York Thoroughbred Aftercare Day here at Saratoga. The NYTHA, the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association and whatnot, all teaming up with NYRA for, and what I was going to say was, it seems like over the past, certainly the past 5 years, maybe going back 10, aftercare of these great athletes that provide us with so much enjoyment, the performances they have during the racing career, that aftercare has become so important. So I think to have a day like this early on the Saratoga calendar is a great idea.
Yeah, well, the like you said, aftercare really became a term, an actual term in the dictionary about 10 years ago. And, you know, the emergence of the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance is the national industry-wide program that oversees aftercare and accredits facilities and organizations and provides funding through the industry itself. And Rick Violet is going to be honored on Aftercare Day. It's the Rick Violet Stakes. And he was really the founding father of aftercare here in New York and one of the original members of the TAA, Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, Board of Directors. And he was the architect, he and Andy Belfiore, his executive director, now our executive director with Take Two, really were the architects of the aftercare program here in New York, which is the Take Two Second Career Thoroughbreds and the Take the Lead Thoroughbred Retirement Program, which we run here at the NYRA tracks. And the Take the Lead program, basically what we do is we assist the horsemen in transitioning horses from the racetrack to accredited, TAA-accredited aftercare facilities in the region or outside of the region. And we make it convenient. We take care of all the paperwork, the vet work, the transportation, and we send donations, monetary donations, with the horse to make sure that their rehabilitation, retraining, rehoming phases into second careers are fully funded through those organizations, and they're tracked throughout their entire life. What we have to realize is that their racing career only covers about 25% of their life. So the responsibility of the industry through aftercare covers about 75, you know, somewhere between 65 and 75% of their lives afterwards. And you know, originally retirement was, you know, out in the field and in a herd and things like that. But these horses, you know, they really need a purposeful second career. And through all the different programs, like the Take Two program, which is a Thoroughbreds only hunter and jumper membership, but we partner with like 350 to 400 shows across the country. That provides demand. The RRP, the Retired Racehorse Project, HITS, is through the Jockey Club. And all these other vocations that these thoroughbreds can handle after their racing careers are over. It's really amazing, but it takes funding and it takes people to transition them.
Yeah, a little bit later we're going to have a tape. We went out for the unveiling of the memorial marker for Quick Call back there. Yeah. He, of course, was down at Wallkill helping out the inmates down there,
kind of
learned some skills and whatnot, and so that was great for him. You know, I think he passed away at age 35, and so he was kind of out in the field, but getting, as they say, passing on some skills to people to take care of him, and they say he had a nice personality and whatnot. Yep. So it was good to see he had a nice after-track situation. Sure. Take the Lead, Take Two, you know, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, involved in a couple of those organizations, obviously, and you've kind of alluded to it already, but I've heard you talk about this before. It's great what you do in that somebody can call you, hey, I have a horse and I think they're ready maybe to transition, and you guys will pick up the ball there, which I think can take a lot of the weight off people's shoulders. But you've said it before, make that call, you know,
at the right time. Don't wait till the last workout. Get the workout before and get the horse in good shape to move on to the next career.
Our motto is one race early, one workout early. Don't wait and don't try and squeeze the lemon, right? So we make it easy. Like you said, it's a text, it's a phone call, it's an email, or come by the barn. I have a team. Andy Belfiore and I have been running this for since 2013. We have a new member of our team who works for NYTHA, is Kristen Mason, and she handles going to the barns also with me, or she'll do Belmont if I'm up here, or she'll help us out in the office with all the electronic paperwork and things like that. So that's the Take the Lead program, and it's been an undeniable success. We've retired over 800 horses since its inception, and every year we've increased our numbers quite a bit. We did 183 last fiscal year. Prior to that was 135. Prior to the year was 98. So people are getting comfortable with it. They know that the horse will find safe haven. We will track them throughout their second careers through the organizations that we pick that are accredited with the TAA. And so it really has taken the onus off, and I think it's really helped in horse safety. We've gotten the horses prior to injury to get them into rehabilitation and retraining for second careers, and the horsemen, the owners, the trainers are really comfortable with that, and that kind of leads us into this program that we're putting on Wednesday, which is New York Thoroughbred Aftercare Day. And first of all, this was a group effort with NYRA. I mean, the amount of work that went in a very short period of time from the NYRA group with David O'Rourke, Martin Panza, Glenn Kozak, Pat McKenna, with NYTHA, Alan Pajevic, and Joe, and I, and Andy Belfiore, the breeders, with Naj Thompson, just brand new into the position over there. You know, everybody got together, and I've said this all along. You know, I was very privileged to be handed the ball off with aftercare. It's a feel-good initiative. It's undeniable. When you say we need to get this done, there's no denying it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a political football that can be batted back and forth. If you deny it, you're on the wrong. So it's an initiative that everybody can get into lockstep with, and there's, you know, everybody checks their egos at the door when it comes to we're going to do this, and everybody kind of works together. And in a very short period of time, they put a fantastic program together for Wednesday. We've got five New York horses that have gone through the Take the Lead program that are going to do demonstrations out there before the races, two from Rerun. Everyone remembers old Uncle Cy. He's going to be out there. He's an old fan favorite. And we've got three horses from the New Vocations farm up here in just north of Saratoga and Gansevoort. And they're going to be doing some dressage and some show jumping and stuff like that. And other organizations will be represented in booths. We'll have Akindale Thoroughbreds from downstate. And certainly the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, which basically started it all. And they're still accredited with all their facilities and all their horses, and they've really put themselves, you know, back in the aftercare game with rehoming and rehabilitation also. But it's going to be a great day. There's going to be interviews between races after the demonstrations, and you can go to information booths to get more information. You can donate through a text to donate. If you text Aftercare 2021 to 44321, you can make a donation to the Take the Lead program.
What are people texting?
Okay, it's Aftercare 2021 to 44321.
All right, I will reiterate that.
And you can also go to our website, which is take2tbreds.com. Okay, you can hit the donate button there, and it would be great. Because, you know, people power, you got to have the people, but you have to have the funding. And in New York, we surpass every other jurisdiction in the country with regards to the funding for aftercare. We generate about $1.3 million for aftercare. And that comes from the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, which makes a sizable donation to aftercare between our two programs, Take Two and Take the Lead. and we have the per start fee the owners put up, and that gets split up between the TAA and the Take the Lead program. The claiming assessment, between the claiming assessment and the per start fee in New York, that generates $500,000 right there. So, and the jockeys donate, the breeders donate, other organizations, NIRA, of course, and then there's some private donations as well. But that's the kind of thing that our legislatures, our legislators and our allies up in Albany need to see. And that is what helped lead to the anti-slaughter bill that just passed through the Assembly, and it passed through the Senate with the help of Assemblyman Pretlow in the Assembly and Senator Joe Addabbo, who's the chairman of the Racing Committee, in the Senate. And all these organizations that I have mentioned helped to formulate the language for the anti-slaughter bill. It's more than just anti-slaughter. We did a microchipping clause in there where every single horse on the grounds is microchipped, regardless of whether it was mandatory for 2017-18 on. There were still 6, 7, 8 year old horses out here that weren't microchipped. That helps us along the way in aftercare, so we can track these horses throughout their second careers. And so that's part of the anti-slaughter bill too, along with several penalties for any issues that come along, and there's other parts of the bill that pass through, but that we had to prove what we do in New York to those legislators. We had several meetings with them. We showed them our numbers. We did demonstrations for them. We had Gary Pretlow and Joe Addabbo had come to rerun to watch horses do some jumping demonstrations for us down here in East Greenbush. And it really showed them, it really was a hands-on operation. Their staff came down, their chief of staff and some of their other staff members came down. And it really helped, it wasn't just on paper, it wasn't just on pictures, they visualized it, yeah. And it was hands-on. So that really helped us along the way. And, I think we're at the forefront of aftercare in the country, and it's an initiative that the industry is responsible for. It's a pension plan for their retirees.
I love
and it's
that
industry-wide.
That
and
terminology.
It's essential. I've been lucky enough to be a part of it, and it's a great team. It's a team effort at every single level. You can't do anything yourself here.
Pension plan for the employee. I like that.
That's
that
what it is. It's a pension plan for the horses, and it's industry fed.
And we have to keep in mind as fans, we can play into that too, because they provide so much fun and entertainment for us up here at the racetrack, and they deserve those nice second careers and retirements with some dignity. And so take advantage of the afternoon next Wednesday and make a donation. As I say, you can go to the website, and I'll reiterate the text, and sure, I'll pass it on to the Wednesday guys, so next Wednesday morning they can say it as well. And I'm assuming you mentioned there'll be booths, so people can go to booths, I'm sure, and
absolutely
be making some.
Yeah, we'll have our NYTHA booth over there. We'll have the Take Two people over there too. Me and Kristen and Andy will be out there. I know we have folks from Akendale that are going to be there. We'll have the rerun people here with their horses, plus information there, new vocations, probably Second Chance. Several of the organizations in the region will have information there for them, and they can make private donations to each one of those if you want, or you can go through the Take the Lead program. 98.9% of our funding goes to the horses. We have very small administrative fees, and most of us do it on a volunteer basis. So virtually 99% of the money that comes into the Take the Lead and the Take Two program goes to the horses, either through transportation costs, veterinarian costs, or just donations to make sure that those horses are cared for through the rehabilitation process.
Nice. And I'm glad we had you here today, and I'm glad you covered a lot of things that I was going to tee you up for. But and one of them was
to run on.
No, that is perfect, because I was going to, and then you hit on it. I was going to say, because I tossed out NYTHA at one point. And for folks who don't know the acronym, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, yeah. I think it's important to kind of keep pushing the fact that, people wonder about this and what happens in the second career. But it's important to push that, the last 5, certainly 10 years you get into it. The New York horse people, as you said, have been on the forefront, and
absolutely,
it's important to keep pushing that. This is the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. As you say, Nodge Thompson and the breeders involved as well. So the New York racing community, you said the jockeys kind of chip in. The New York people are
putting it on the table, showing their concern, and doing it to get these horses that retirement or second career.
Yeah, and we're, you know, for other jurisdictions, we're saying, hey, see what we did here, right? Like with the claiming assessment. You know, horses that get claimed, 1.5% of that gets split up between Take the Lead and the TAA. And the money that goes to the TAA gets funneled to the horses that come from New York. It doesn't just go to the national organization. We oversee that money also. We make sure when we send horses that may not end up in New York, maybe go to the Kentucky or to the Pennsylvania facilities that we use, we make sure that that money goes to them also. And it just, you know, and it's a tribute to Rick Violet. I mean, he really set this whole thing up. He was the architect. He left us a blueprint. He was the president of New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. He was the president of Take Two. And he really set the ball rolling. And he just left it, you know, to us, you know, a good design that just, you know, just runs with it. It's just a matter of putting the effort and the time in and having good people. And again, the funding is what keeps it rolling. And it's the industry's responsibility at every single level. And between that, the networking with all the facilities and the van companies and the vets and everything like that, it really works really, really well. But, you know, there's always improvement, and we're always looking to improve.
Yeah, certainly great initiative, and we're happy you guys are involved and doing what you're doing. And, again, you can be involved as well. Take Two T-Breads, the website, if folks want to go online and donate. You can text to 44321, text Aftercare 2021, and that'll be a donation as well. Keep all that in mind. Again, I will reiterate that a little bit. It is next Wednesday, July 21st, New York Thoroughbred Aftercare Day up here at Saratoga. Participate, get to see some of the horses who are benefit. That'll be fun, I think, to see some of the horses out on the track who benefit from it.
It's going to be, it's going to be pretty cool. You know, I've been to all these facilities. I do some inspections for the TAA, and to see some of those horses out there that I saw on the racetrack, or some of them that I've trained, and you know, maybe sometimes I train their mothers. I'm getting a little old. That's what happens. But you know, like I said, it's really gratifying. It's satisfying to see that the program works, and the key is, you know, just with these facilities and organizations across the country, with the accreditation process, you know, it's a real safety net, and we can make sure that these horses find a soft landing and a purposeful second career.
Excellent. So, again, hats off to you and everybody that's involved.
It's a team effort.
Yeah, really, really good work. And, again, all the organizations, we tip our cap to them that you guys are out there doing that. But, Rick, we can't let you go without talking a little horse racing, a little Saratoga.
Oh, we do have a barn full of horses. Well, half a barn full of horses now. Like I said, I'm getting older and smaller.
From July 2nd, I'm going to pull up. Yep. A bit, Irish Sass.
Yes.
Nice win there. I'm curious whether we'll see that one up here at Saratoga.
Yeah, well, she's a real nice filly. We always thought very highly of her. She's by the leading freshman sire, Leoban. I ran her a couple times at two, and I wanted to put her away for the winter time because I really thought she was growing, and that once she got to go a distance of ground, I really thought she'd show herself, and she did. We ran her once in a sprint, and then we came back in a long race. And she was challenged the whole entire way, cut out the fastest fractions of the day, and separated at the end. I really, really think a lot of this filly. And the Clear Stars guys, I mean, this group of people that Michael Sternklar has put together are the happiest bunch of people you'll ever see. When they won the other day, everybody in the grandstand was clapping for them because they just were so happy. It's such a great bunch of people, you know. We're always expanding, and they really enjoy it. They come by the barn every morning to see the horses, and they have their own, you know, their own insignias and logos and stuff. And I had, you know, of course, I had to, you know, toe the company line this morning also a little bit. But she's a real nice filly, and it was one of the 4 2-year-olds that we bought last year that turned three, and all of them turned out. All the 2-year-olds that we bought last year turned out. If they hadn't won, that three of them have won, and one of them hasn't won but made $70,000 not winning. So she was pretty successful too. So, but we think highly of this filly. She's got a lot of class. She can go a route of ground. She'll run here possibly at the end of the meet. There's a 3-year-old filly, New York Bred Stake, for $200,000. We're going to aim for that and work backwards. If we can get a race into her beforehand, that would be great. We were thinking about the Oaks at Finger Lakes. They actually didn't fill the race. and they brought it back for next week, so it's a possibility too, but I kind of like to keep her here and get a prep over the racetrack if we can do that, and then run her in the stake at the, on the 27th, I think, of August.
A bit of Irish sass. Look for that one, because, again, she looked really good on July 2nd.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about, I asked Robertino Diodoro, have you been working horses over at the refurbed Oklahoma? Have any opinions?
I have not. I'm stabled right here. For me to go over to Oklahoma would kind of, it'd be a long morning, and I have 10 sets as it is. And I've been happy with the main track, although we've had a ton of rain. I think once it settles down, maybe after this rain this weekend, looks like we're going to get a little rain. Maybe it'll all settle down. We'll have a better idea. But it sounds like everything's going well over there. And I think the key, and talking to Glenn, was that they got that hard rain to get the base to settle down. It's kind of like a clay tennis court where, you know, you got to get some good, solid, even rain to get it to set, really nice and evenly. And I've heard very few complaints about either track, except for the fact that it rains, and that's what happens. You know, Alan Jerkins used to say, you know, everybody complains about a sloppy track, and he used to say, if you add water to dirt, you get mud, and then he'd just walk away from you.
And at some point during the year, water will be added to dirt. Inevitable.
Yep, it happens.
Give me your opinion on the return down at Belmont, too. As watching the simulcast signal last, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, and just seeing them panning, you know, in the paddock and panning around, it seems like Belmont has gotten a good response. People are raring to go, and Belmont got a good response. And yesterday up here was
absolutely
crazy. I mean, how much fun to have fans back.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was like pulling your finger out of the dike. You know, it was... You know, after last year, people were just aching to come up here to Saratoga, and they just couldn't do it. And then we gradually, and listen, again, teamwork down there at Belmont through the pandemic with the best, you know, the Backstretch employee strategy team and the healthcare workers and the clinic and NYTHA and NYRA, an incredible job to keep that pandemic out of the population. We really did a heroic job, and that was a team effort. But to get racing back up and running by June last year, and now with everything opened up, everybody's just going bananas. I have a feeling there'll be more than a few horses before, or it might be horses too. A few people at the horseshoe tonight. It's the first Friday night. I will be in bed by 8:20, so let me know how it goes.
I think you nailed it, though. I'm guessing you're. I'm guessing probably Thursday night wasn't bad either. Yeah. I had some work to do, but at some point this weekend, I will at least make a little walk around.
Town looks like it's doing well, and they deserve it. Everybody kind of limped through that whole thing, and hopefully came out okay on the other side with the PPP loans, if you could take it, and if they got forgiven and stuff. And I had to do it, and it got forgiven through, you know, keeping people on the payroll through the whole thing, and a lot of other trainers did with the help of NYTHA and NYRA and everybody, you know, kind of showing us the ropes on how to get through all that. And, this town is very resilient. This town is very traditional. And from what I can see and what I can hear when I'm coasting by on my bike, things are looking pretty good.
No, you're exactly right. I know some of the business owners downtown, and talking the past couple of months, they were saying, man, if it wasn't for the PPP, I would have. Yeah. And now I'm just rooting for these guys. And given what has happened in the last 6 weeks or so with things opening up, and I have actually walked downtown a little bit the last three Saturday nights. It's been like Traverse night every time. And so I'm rooting for everybody down there to bounce back. And you said it, and I've said it now, but for really going back to last year, I think horse racing, as far as major sports, may have handled it the best of anybody. And we kind of kept plugging along and doing well. Yeah. You know, fans weren't allowed up here, but we had racing and good racing as well. But it's fun. Yesterday,
it was really amazing, the
emotions on people. Everybody was happy to be back.
And I love it that, you know, they always the first race of the meet is always started right in front of the grandstand, in front of everybody. And it's the hard knocking claimers, and Robertino won the race. But it's always exciting to have those horses break from the gate right in front of everybody for opening day. And it's, you know, it was a great day, and today's going to be a good day weather-wise. We might get a little bit of rain, but that's part of the ambiance of being up here in the Adirondacks. You get that, and you deal with it, and you have some fun.
Yeah, John Embriel said, they're approaching the gate, and the crowd guns to their feet. And it was just great
bananas.
Rick, we really appreciate it. And again, hats off to you and everybody involved. Next week, next Wednesday, come on up to the track, New York Thoroughbred Aftercare Day. Yeah. Make a donation. Come see some of the horses that benefit from these programs. Again, next Wednesday. And as we progress, I'll keep reiterating some of the options as well. But
we appreciate
you stopping by and filling us
in. Okay, anytime. Thanks. I appreciate it. And come on out on, well, come out every day, but Wednesday is a special day for us.
Rick Schaasberg, appreciate his stopping by this morning. As I say, we will keep reminding you leading up to Wednesday next week. But now we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do our pre-tape segment for the Quick Call Memorial back there. But I'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Leader set on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stipe and running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop Shopping Maria's got a lot left. Stop Shopping Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop Shopping Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, Stop Shopping Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won at just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We'll wrap things up with a tape segment we did. If you were watching Wednesday morning, I had Kim Weir in with me from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. We talked a little bit about what was going to go on. Yesterday, opening day was Quick Call a day with the race named for Quick Call, one of the feature races. But on Wednesday, literally right behind us here is kind of the memorial section inside Clare Court. Four-star Dave is buried there, a phenomenon. Folks may remember, certainly Four-Star Dave being the Sultan of Saratoga. People remember that name. But on Wednesday, they unveiled a marker commemorating Quick Call, who was a Saratoga favorite. Folks, younger folks may not remember. I'm old enough to remember. He won a couple of editions of the Four Go up here. Had a great career up here in Saratoga and a great career overall, but he spent more time in his second career where he was part of the TRF program down at the Wallkill Correctional Facility, where some of the inmates are part of an equine program learning how to take care of the horses. And Quick Call spent many, many years down there helping out the folks who are part of that program. And so at the ceremony the other day, there was a lot of NYRA people. Andy was over there, Andy Serling, and Jeff Canizzo was over there. Naj Thompson from the New York Breeders were over there, and a lot of people who had been involved with Quick Call, both on the racetrack and at Wallkill. And so we were over and caught a little bit of the ceremony, the unveiling of the marker, and then they had a little event across the street as well, and we caught up with some of the folks. The Commissioner of Corrections, who talked a little bit about the Wallkill program and the horses and the TRF horses down there and how important that is. We talked to a former inmate, a graduate of the program who dealt with Quick Call. We talked to Quick Call's exercise rider when he was on the racetrack.
We talked to Kelsey Kober, who is the farm manager down at Wallkill, and a few other people as well. It was, again, a nice event, and it was nice to talk to the people who had real interactions and memories of Quick Call, both on the racetrack and beyond in the second career. So here again from Wednesday, the Quick Call Commemorative Memorial Unveiling. Take it away.
Vividly remember personally being here in 1988 and 89, witnessing him win the Forgo Stakes. To win 9 races at Saratoga is unheard of. To win 1 means an awful lot, and it's special. So consider the fact that he did that 9 times throughout his career is just remarkable. He's what makes the spa, and we're again very honored to be to have this marker here. To remember him by and for people to share in and be a part of. So on behalf of NYRA, again, we thank you for being here. We thank the TRF and everyone involved. And we look forward to continuing to honor his legacy at Saratoga.
A moment while we do a little microphone switch, and I would just say that as you soak in the marker, which I will get out of the way, this horse would not have lived his 35 extraordinary years without every single one of the people in this shot. These are the heroes of the TRF, of the horses, of this particular horse, and I look forward to, as we gather post-ceremony, to you all hearing their stories and how much each of them were impacted by this horse and how much we are grateful to each of you for being here. There are more stories than you can possibly imagine, and I just want you each to know, each of you come out today, how much we appreciate you today, and all the days, and all the years, and all the moments, and all the phone calls, and all the things you've navigated. It's extraordinary. So we are just grateful. Please know to our friends from the media, these are the superstars. Without the shoulders of giants upon, some of us get to stand today.
Before we start, your talk over at the gravesite, it was interesting. You're a horse person yourself.
Yes, I am. My wife is really the horse person. She had knee surgery, so I'm taking over barn duty for her. We have 4 right now in our barn, and I did that this morning before coming here. Clean the stalls, fed them all, make sure they have good, clean water, well taken care of, because she is a fastidious taskmaster.
Very good. So that's pretty much the game plan at the facilities as well, with the TRF horses and the TRF herd, with the inmates taking care of the horses on a daily basis. And I've talked to the TRF people on my show before about the program. Talk about it from the perspective of the corrections side on the state and how much it means, the partnership with the TRF, and kind of helping the horses in their career after the races and helping the humans as well.
Yes, it really is a mutually beneficial relationship, and it goes back many years, and we're so happy for it. I think anybody that takes care of an animal of any type that is in need of care helps that person to become more human themselves. And certainly many of these men who've never been near horses in their entire life learn for the first time what it is to care for an animal that's big and can be intimidating at first. But they quickly learn that they respond to the gentle touch, to caring, to nurturing. And many of these men really become attached to these animals, and they learn so much about themselves, and they feel like they're giving something back to society. I mean, these horses gave a lot of pleasure when they were racing on tracks, whether they won or didn't win, or all the other work that they put into it, but they deserve a happy home afterwards. They deserve a humane treatment, and these men are happy to do it. And we're so happy to partner with this foundation and keep this thing going and perhaps expand to other correctional facilities in the not-too-distant future.
And it was great to see you here today, because our audience is probably more used to Quick Call on the racetrack, but he had a longer career off the racetrack where he benefited a lot of people and clearly benefited the corrections facilities as well.
Absolutely. When he was a racehorse, he won quite a number of races, winning over $800,000 in earnings. But when he was a retired racehorse, he won the hearts of countless men, and you can't put a dollar figure on that. So we were so happy to have him and so many other horses, and what it means to the men to give back to society.
Great program, and we appreciate your participating.
Thank you very much. We're so happy to be partners with this wonderful organization.
We're here now with Kelsey Kober, and I'm going to let you inform us of your multiple titles.
So I am the vocational instructor for the New York State Department of Corrections, and I'm the farm manager for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation.
And talk a little bit about the project at Wallkill, and I've said it multiple times, and including in this piece, it helps the horses, and it's great for their after-racing career and their after-racing health, but it helps the humans as well. Talk a little bit about the program.
So, yes, it does help the horses, but it also helps the incarcerated individuals. It's extremely therapeutic for them. They get to be around the horses all day long, and they learn from the bottom up. They learn how to groom the horses. They learn how to walk them. They learn how to take horses off the trailer when they arrive to me. It's an extremely wonderful program for them.
And as I understand it, you took care of Quick Call in his waning years. Talk a little bit about him and maybe his personality, being an elder statesman on the farm.
So I have what's called an old timers paddock that holds my 25 to 35 year old horses, and that's where Quick Call stayed, and he was right close to us all the time. And he had such a personality. He, all the way until the day he passed, he had an extraordinary personality. You could pick him out of the field and know that was Quick Call. He was just wonderful.
And again, just a great program and a great benefit to the folks that are participating in it. Talk a little bit about just overall TRF and how much these correctional facilities play into the herd management.
So as I work for the TRF as well, I care for 33 retired racehorses right now at Wallkill, and it's an extraordinary job as what I do every day, making sure the horses get the proper care, making sure they've got fresh water every day, fresh grain every day, making sure nobody's injured. If they are, we get the vet out there right away, and that's what I do on the TRF side.
Very good, and as I say, I think it's a great program at these correctional facilities, tying up with the horses to give them a career and a life afterwards and helping out the people as well, so we appreciate your work.
Thank you. I'm extremely blessed to be a part of it, so thank you.
Alessio, he's the superintendent at Wallkill. And Phil, talk a little bit about the program, TRF and the horses. I've been saying all along, I see where it's beneficial to the horses, obviously, but it's beneficial to the people as well.
Yes, for the incarcerated individual, it teaches them how to actually take care of a living being. And you know, it's also a healing process for them because they see through the magnificent creatures how they're responding to being treated positively, being fed, being taken care of. They go out there and day in and day out and
Welcome back. I think there was a little bit of a technical difficulty there at the end, but again, we appreciate everybody who participated, and it was a nice event on Wednesday to commemorate the marker for a quick call with the folks from the TRF and NIRUD, as I say, some of the correctional facility people who quick call that second career played into it, and some of the people remembering quick call and his racing career also. So again, appreciate the event there. Let me wrap things up. First, let me hit on some of the promos coming up today. There is a bounty bet. You play the late pick five at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account, and you're alive for a shot at the bounty. There's a trifecta challenge down at the clubhouse racebook. Tomorrow's the Saratoga Syndicate. I'm imagining that team is probably full. You can check the website to make sure. But syndicates throughout the Saratoga meet on Saturdays, they will open first come, first serve on Sunday. So keep it in mind going forward. Tomorrow there's also Saturday there's also some other pick promotions as well, and bankroll promotions and whatnot. We will alert you to those as we get closer, or swing by the website, capitalotb.com, for more information. Again, today at the racetrack, it is Healthcare Heroes and First Responders Day. If you fit into that category, bring your proper ID and you get free admission today. There'll be two or three races where the first responders will be invited into the winner's circle as well. So again, deserve it. The folks who were doing what they had to do throughout this pandemic year and a half or so. Healthcare Heroes and First Responders Day today here at Saratoga Race Course. I think that catches us up. I'm looking at all my notes. I have notes all over. I have various things that have been emailed to me and whatnot. But as I said, I think that catches us up. You can always go to capitalotb.com, click on the promos and events link to catch up with the promos and events as well. But that wraps things up. Day two at Saratoga. I'm already worn out. I don't know about you, but it was a great day yesterday. You can be worn out, but you get over and see the smiles on the faces and everybody having a great time. And thanks to everybody. I had forgotten how tough it is to walk through the crowd over there when there is a crowd, for folks who clearly tune in the morning and want to, hey, give a thumbs up to Capital OTB TV. I salute, our crew, Danny and Dino down in the studio, up here as well. Brian and Mick doing a great job up here. They're doing all the hard, the heavy lifting, as it were. But I get to hear the feedback on the front side. Yeah, walking around yesterday, I don't go more than about 30 feet before somebody stops and says, really enjoy the programming in the morning. So again, appreciate all that feedback, and that was fun yesterday as well. But again, nice day. Looks like it's clouding over a little bit, but again, a little bit humid, but it's July in Saratoga. Overall, a nice day. Looking forward to another great day here at Saratoga with a nice card as well, and into the weekend. I'll be back tomorrow. My days are going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Brian Edo will be in on Wednesdays. Brian and Anthony Mormito on Thursdays. As far as Racing Across America time slot, pretty much the same scenarios as far as the handicappers report in the morning as well. But we're underway. Day two in the books for Capital OTB TV morning programming. We appreciate your tuning in, certainly, and we will see you again tomorrow morning.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.